Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical applications, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here.
Jen Goldman, you are the Business Operations Transformer and Integrator of My Virtual COO, found on the web at MyVirtualCOO.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Catherine, for having me. I think we're in for a fun talk.
I think so, too. I love talking with you before I hit record, so I'm excited to just continue the conversation. Sometimes those are some really good conversations in there, so we'll repeat it a little bit. So to kind of tell me a little bit high level, My Virtual COO, tell me what you do and kind of how you found and fell into this.
Yeah. So what we do is if anyone understands like a COO, Chief Operations Officer. So we take vision and we bring it to life and we kind of lead the team through continuous improvements because we live in a world where everything is changing all the time. So we're doing things around the four P's, people and skill up, recalibration and optimization around processes, which is just a form of productivity. Around profits, we do care about the bottom and top lines, mostly because the bottom line rewards the people for doing the work, and presence, which is your internal presence, as well as your presence to the public to bring in business. So we do all that in short sprints because we're all about making, you know, things happen and come to life. And then we hope at the same time, we're grooming up somebody to kind of fill in that role when we leave.
That's
you asked me how I got into
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, it's a long, short story. So first of all, I'm from Buffalo, New York, did go to school at night while working full-time during the day in quality control, realized I did care about finances. I came from a financially literate family, which is more rare than one might think. And I moved to Massachusetts and helped, I grew a couple businesses, helped grow a couple businesses. I joined larger businesses. And then I realized, oh, I want to go on my own. And so this was at the time, I'm going to date myself, when there was Skype. Mm-hmm. And that was about it. And I hung the shingle out about, 20 years ago now. And yeah, been doing it ever since. And listen, there's always been a need. I think the needs have shifted from simple technology to more complex. I think the talent shifted. But again, you need somebody to kind of bring that vision to life.
All right. So before we hit record, you showed me something and it's very visual. Will you flash that white thing up and let's talk about it for a minute and the importance of it? Because it makes sense. And I think we need to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you and I both believe in this. So, so I was joking about the fact that I went to Home Depot and I bought this. This is basically what my whiteboards, but these are small. They were cut up from a big board that you put in your bathroom behind your tile. Saves a lot of money. I have about 10 of these sitting. And I think what we were really talking about is how do you move ideas into action? And we whiteboard almost everything. So everything we do is visual. So it quickly gets the decision makers or even the team to buy in and also to make quicker, better decisions. That's what we were gabbing about. It's a little fun thing. And by the way, I can get 10 boards out of a $12 large board. So talk about cheap. It's more expensive to buy the markers.
It is. That's economical. And it's, you know, effective overall. So we talked about the use of storytelling and or the use of being able to kind of put a visual together, which I kind of think is like telling a story. And that helps create change a little bit quicker in organizations because I've been in large corporations and they're kind of slow and they are kind of, you know, methodical, I guess, in a way that's always worked for them. But sometimes we just need to make a decision and take action. So can you talk about how you've been successful in getting results using some of that process that you that we were talking about before.
Yeah. This was, we've been doing this for years, but we actually didn't know the science behind it. So now for those that are super intellect and need the science, what happens when you visualize, first of all, 65% of humans are visual learners. Okay. So that's something that's been surveyed and tested across the world. In addition to that, when you show a visual, it activates your prefrontal cortex, which is your calm part of your brain. And what it also does is it calms the flight or fight part of your brain. That's the amygdala. That doesn't get activated. So basically, when you're showing a visual, you're one, reaching more people because that's how they take in information. And two, you're bringing them into a state of calm, rational decision-making. So you're right. It is telling a story, but it's telling a story in a way that resonates. And the third thing I like about it is it's actually a form of documentation and accountability, mm-hmm. right? So if you write something, it's like I joke the field of dreams, but like if you write, it will come alive, mm-hmm. you know, it's the same deal and you can let it sit. So for example, we might be working with a business on recalibrating roles and responsibilities and looking for ways to automate and remove work so we have time to like rise up or learn something new or do, you know, or breathe. Mm-hmm. And if you said that verbally, people freak out like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. Oh my God, I'm not valuable anymore. Like, but if you actually document all the responsibilities on one chart together, and then you let it sit, like let people go into it another time, or you print it on a big poster paper in the office and let them walk away and come back, you get so much more buy-in and relaxation through it because you're letting people process information when they can. You're not, you know what I mean? Like some of us are good in the morning, some of us are good in the afternoon. Now it's people can process whenever they want.
I call it marinating. I'll put things out and I'll just let people kind of marinate because, and you know, when I work with people, if I have feedback, I'll say, is this a good time to provide it to you? And they may say no. And it's just because they're about to walk out the door to go pick up their kids or they're running late for another meeting and I'm not going to have their attention or the dialogue that I need to have because it's something that's important. So, you know, just by asking them, is this a good time? Because it may or may not be. So when the paper gets hung on the wall, it may not be a good time, but they can go by and it'll be in the back of their mind and they may sleep on it tonight and wake up in the morning. And sometimes they think it's their own idea that put it on the paper. And you're kind of like, it really wasn't your handwriting, but okay. If that's what's driving this forward, we can do this. So that's we right. can get buy-in, but everybody moves at different paces. Some people move faster than others. And that paper is just like a gentle reminder, just a little nudge to kind of come on, let's move it along if we can. Or they may come back and have ideas that kind of refines it even more mm-hmm. that we wouldn't have thought about just by ourselves. So I like it.
Yeah, because we joke about the cliche of Rome built in a day, mm-hmm. but you can't do this with business. There's mm-hmm. humans and they have flow on their own pace and time. On the contrary, as we were kind of, you can't go that slow.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to be fair, why did I become, going back to your, why did I become a consultant? Because I watch businesses going too slow, losing great people, either through de-energizing, like they were there, but they weren't really working productively and caring about the business anymore, or they quit, right? Mm-hmm. I saw flattened type of revenues and profitability. And I'm like, I can't sit in one business and see this anymore. I didn't have the patience to watch the pain grow. So mm-hmm. for me, I had to flip it in the storyline and say, listen, I got to come into a place where I can go at the pace that you need to go. And you may not love the pace, but you'll land up respecting everything that is done because it not only saved you, it pivoted you in the right direction of scalability. So I'm sure you would say the same about your clients. Like there's days when you may not love what we say.
They, I get a lot of one-liners. They're like, oh, you know, I know I should do it. You just said it. I'll think about it. And I'm like, oh my God, it's been 6 months. How much more time do you need to think about it? They're like, let's just go chase this squirrel. I'm like, that's the problem is we're chasing the squirrel and we're not staying on what actually delivers results.
Yeah.
So yeah, it gets to be a little tricky to watch. And sometimes the bigger organizations, I mean, the pain has got to be so bad before they finally make that change. And meanwhile, these other companies are coming along and just scooping everything up because they're taking action. It's just as simple as that. They are taking action, no matter how little or how big. It is something, which is better than just sitting there like a duck in water, not moving.
So. Yeah, because people need energy. I mean, it's like a joke about electric car, but like we're humans, we need to plug into energy sometimes mm-hmm. when we can't bring it. And if the business doesn't bring energy to its people, you're not going to get out of your people what you want, and they're going to check out and walk out. And you're right. To be fair, you work with larger businesses and come from that. And I was a part of that, but we work with smaller businesses because I cannot be around that level of pain. I cannot watch those businesses on the slow death march, as I call it. Mm-hmm. And they don't even see it. They're just like, yeah, well, we can find other people. I'm like, you know what? Talent is limited. Like, you think it's grown on trees. It is not. So, and also too, to groom talent, right? That like next generation, you need to have talent to groom the next gen of talent. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't take people for granted.
No. And you know, what we're putting into them is what's going to come back to us. And there's so many managers that just want to show up and not take the time to manage these folks and create accountability, because the accountability is what allows us to be better managers. I think we talked a little bit about this before we hit record. I'd love to hear, like, what are you seeing that's working in the field of accountability to be able to deliver results? Because you're very much about results, which in business is extremely important.
Yeah.
So talk about accountability. What's working, what you're seeing?
Yeah, what's working. I mean, and I'll throw vulnerability in there too, not to overdo Brené Brown, but like the reality is accountability is writing. It's writing it down in a place that others can see. So for us, we are absolutely fanatical about the CRM or a project management system. I don't care what it is, the software. It has to be a software where you're writing the tasks, you're assigning them, you're putting a date on them. And we added one more thing in because we're just big fans of lots of greats out there. We put in the why.
Hmm.
So why would you do this? It helps you grow. It takes care of your people. It frees up time through productivity. Like, give it. We actually use 4 P's. Again, people, I have to think about this. People, process. I do it all day long. It's okay. People, process, profit, or presence. Okay. But you can use whatever 4 or 5 pillars you want. I don't really care. But give it purpose and a system, again, that's shared. So let's say you're the CEO and you're a visionary. And we see this all the time. You probably do. Visionary with ADHD, extremely common, by the way. You still should be documenting. And so what works for them, because I think that's the most important. I think your COOs, your other C-suite, your staff, they're fine with the documentation. I think it's the visionary ADHD that has the trouble with it. And yet they have great ideas. So what we've done is a little duct tape move. We've given them a way to dictate into the CRM. Hmm. So they can be walking the dog. Mm-hmm. Driving the car and dictating their thoughts. And it goes into a transparent system. Now, it goes into a system where others see, and that makes that CEO vulnerable. Like that there's, it's still better.
Better than nothing. And we're getting that we're creating a little bit of change, moving them into that direction, which then they're going to begin to model what we need other people to do, which is just get it into the system. That's like the hardest thing, is just to get it in there. Mm-hmm. I remember working in corporate and banking, and they needed a better pipeline. They just needed people to put stuff in the pipeline is what they needed. They didn't need a better system. They needed the humans to put it into the system. And so I went out to go see customers, and they said, we need a better pipeline. I'm like, that's great. And they said, we don't want to use CRM. I said, okay, so what do you want? And they list all these features. It's the same thing as CRM. So I went back and I said, guys, we're going to relabel this thing. We're going to call it Bob. And they're like, really? I said, yeah, just change CRM. We only got 3 initials there. We're going to change it to B-O-B. We changed it to B-O-B. We came back. We pitched it. The same thing. They said, oh, my God, that is exactly what we want. And they started to use it.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
Think about the mental, like, yeah. I don't know. They just had so many hurdles over the word CRM and they didn't want to use it, but they needed these other things to happen. Mm-hmm. And it kind of tied, I think this ties into what we were talking about earlier, which is like neuroscience.
Yeah.
And trying to get the way the brain is working to where we can just get someone to take action. Yes. And to take a step forward. And if it just means we rename something because they have some trauma over what CRM used to be.
That's right.
We started talking about the neuroscience and I never really drilled down to it. I think I've just made so many mistakes and I just keep trying new things. And we were talking about neuroscience and how when we start to understand this a little bit better, it kind of makes sense. Can you share some of the things you've learned about the neuroscience lately that you're reading about or?
Yeah, well, I'll share one that I'm sure you possess. I call it constellation thinking because I haven't seen the term for it. Actually, I have. It's called relational complexity. So I was actually working with a branding coach, Laura, and we were talking about self-branding and branding company, right? Your identity. And she's like, oh yeah, relational complexity. That's what you do. Because I always say, well, I can't explain what a COO does, right? Like we get what a CEO does. We get what a HR, you know, CEO's the, amygdala and, or confusing. And she said, it's relational complexity, which is constellation thinking. So this is actually something that is in neuroscience. And it's the idea of we use a lot of the parts of our brain and synapse a lot of things. So if you're one of those people that can kind of connect the dots between, let's say you make a change in a process and you realize, well, that affects somebody's job description. Mm-hmm. Oh, that affects their compensation. Oh, that affects the profitability of the company. That's constellation thinking. And so that's one thing I learned. And I tagged it with a name because I wanted it to be fun. And I wanted a visual in my head that was happy, kind of like you did, Bob, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, same idea. The other thing is the amygdala. And the prefrontal cortex and using visuals. I've learned that. The other thing is definitely about times of day. Mm-hmm. And so this assumption that, you know, when you have a meeting, everybody's engaged there, focused at the same time of the day. This is common sense for you and me, but there is neuroscience behind the flow mm-hmm. of your brain. And we don't all have the same and we cannot adjust it. I think this thought of like, well, people can change that. They can't change it.
So how do you work with it?
Yeah, and that's a tough one. Going back to visuals, we do this time management chart. So visualize this.
Get the whiteboard out.
I can get my whiteboard out. So you do a chart. You can do this in Excel. Okay, whatever you want or loose, whatever, whiteboarding software, whiteboard. And mm-hmm. you basically have a column for each person. And you have all the times of the day, right? Starting from 6 a.m. in the morning until like midnight or whatever. And you start to put down what you like to do in each time segment of the day. And everybody does this together, but quietly, and puts it together. And then you start to realize that some people like to do really technical work in the morning and others like to do it in the afternoon. And so you can start to see a pattern. And then you try to pick when you do your team meetings, when everybody's kind of flowing at the same way. Their brains are the same. Because you don't know. You know,
you could probably dump that into ChatGPT and it could just align the calendars for you. Absolutely. I've seen people use it for managing wait staff at restaurants and they put in everybody's times and it recreates the calendar. So this would be similar. You have your time blocking and then dump it into ChatGPT, use something, you know, that we don't need to waste our time on that aligns it and then schedules meetings. That's pretty cool.
And I love that you said about the AI. And we were talking about this yesterday. On Twitter, the AI is just a non-emotional player in the field here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, listen, we're great as humans. We have a lot of emotions. We're attached to a lot of things and attached to the wrong things, like the word CRM, right?
Yeah.
That is a PTSD moment, whatever. I think the point is use the tools that pull the emotion away. So this idea of documenting pulls emotion away. This idea of AI pulls emotion away. It lets you make more rational decisions. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's helpful. All right. So I was talking to a gentleman yesterday and he was talking about scaling the business that he had. But I also know that you've learned a lot from scaling businesses I guess my question is like, what are the hardest things about scaling up maybe a smaller business to the next level. It just got me thinking, got me thinking about it yesterday. And so I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear from you on bigger businesses. I would say on smaller businesses, the energy and time is a problem. It's limited. Mm-hmm. So prioritization is super important. And when you're emotionally attached to that small business that you love, it is hard to see what should come first, second, and third. It is hard to see the true source of what's holding you back.
And having that outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visionary, like what you're talking
about. Yeah, visionary, coach. Listen, consultants, coaches, whatever it takes to pull you away and see the business from a higher level is super important. And for however long, preferably you and I are action-oriented people. We don't want to take forever doing this. And a small business can't afford that. I think that's the bigger issue, that a small business can't afford to take years to figure this out. Mm-hmm. You have to accelerate it and be okay with how uncomfortable it makes you. So yeah, I think those are the biggest items. I'd like to say it's money, but it's just using your money wisely. You know what I mean? For the right. And again, that just goes back to prioritization.
Prioritization. It does. I mean, it's just so simple, but it's also hard.
Really hard.
I struggle with it. And accountability. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how do you, okay, when you work with businesses, how do you work with them through prioritization? How do you guide them?
Everything starts with a list. Literally, we just write everything down on a piece of paper. So you talk about a whiteboard. I just have rolls and rolls of post-it notes everywhere. And it's just in the moment, like, let's just be present in the moment. We're not chasing phone calls, text messages, emails, turn it all off. And I just need you to dump, and you get 5 minutes and you just dump everything you think that needs to be done. Because if it didn't make it in the first 5 minutes, we need to push it out. So, it recreates the prioritization. And then within that, you know, just having them, okay, which things are most similar? How do we group it together? How do you prioritize it? So like, let's put it in three buckets. How do we prioritize what needs to be most important? And how do we push the next stuff to the next quarter? And maybe in the next quarter, we don't need it anymore. So let's not worry about what we can't get to, because as you talked about earlier, the time, we only have so much time. But I've been in corporate in times when I listened to the customer need, I understood what the company vision was, and then I took what the customer need was, knowing what the vision was, and went to operations and said, can we build this? Or do we have existing systems that can do this? And when you have solid relationships in place and good people, and they can be old clunky machines, they work just fine. But if we know the why, like, why are we doing this? Because we need to increase our deposit base. Mm-hmm. We have existing systems that are being used for something else, so we can leverage that. And the customer's willing to pay for this and to use the service. It's mutually beneficial. And so a lot of times it was closing the gap, strategic vision, the customer need, and operationally, what could we provide without having to build a new rocket ship? We'd bring that stuff together and we would test really small. Like, we would just test with, you know, we're just going to do this particular market and see if it works. And then we're going to just expand it to a certain sector, you know, within the state. And then we're going to expand it beyond that. And it grew exponentially. It was a huge, great problem to have to grow that fast. That everything starts small. Like, what is the real need that we need right now? At the time, we needed deposits. And customers needed FDIC insurance way back in the day, mm-hmm. When everything was falling apart. And just listening to what the needs are, understanding what the operations capacity is, we can line this stuff up. But I couldn't go chase all the other squirrels, because I needed to stay focused on this one thing. And that was a priority. Like, I just kept hearing it like a broken record from the boardroom of, we need deposits to make the loans. We need deposits to make the loans. I'm like, well, these people got a lot of money, but we don't have a system that can hold it. And so just connect the dots, talk to people, listen to what they can say. And
it's connecting the dots. It's connecting the dots, right?
It's constellation thinking. I love it.
But here's the thing. It's not a but, it's an and. You also downplayed, and let me bring it to light, collaboration. Write the problem, pull the team together and say, what do you think? You'll more quickly get to the solution. I think that we all try to work in this like little black box by ourselves. And I think it's pretty darn awful. And a bigger business, you have all these people, right? Like that's awesome what you're doing. A small business, you have you, you, and you. Like we used to joke about the Tom Hanks volleyball. Like, oh, I'm going to turn into the volleyball, right? And that's me and I'm going crazy. We have business peers to reach out to that are willing to let us ping something off of them and say, here's my problem. I'm thinking that, what do you think? They're not going to charge you. They're business peers. They're going through the same stuff on a different day. And trust me, whatever you bring to them, they're probably like, yeah, I was there, or I'm there and I need that too. I think this idea of collaborating is not showing that you don't know anything. It's showing that you know you're better together than in this by yourself. And and documenting is care for others and self, right? It's getting out of your head so your head doesn't start smoking, right? And it's care for others. I'm going to give you something to think about on your time when your brain's working.
So it's so funny, the documentation that you talk about. Everything I did always had, I'm big into one pagers. Like everything needs to fit onto one piece of paper. And I'm not talking front and back in size 6 font. No. I'm talking, 10 or 12 font, clearly articulated ideas. And when I co-created this solution to this customer need, it was a one pager. It just started as a one pager. I sent it to my manager because I needed something he could print off easy and walk down the hall to go talk to somebody else, because it was mapped out on this piece of paper, real high level. But then the next guy was able to pick it up and they're like, oh, I got that system. Yeah, here, let me just make a quick call. And he called Harold and Harold said, yeah, I got that. I'll just put a new, general ledger number at the top of the system. And now we can just mirror the system. So we don't have to build anything new. Mm-hmm. But because we could use one piece of paper to document, this is kind of the goal and the problem that it's going to solve, and made it easy for the manager to then print it off and take it to the next person, and they could marinate over it however long they needed. Mm-hmm. But that time they didn't need a lot of marinating. They were just like, let's just do it and see if it works.
And this is why it works. You're selling them and you're respecting their time and their headspace. I mean, it's like, it's common sense for you and I, but I don't think people realize how game changing this is. It's game changing for businesses. I don't care what size you are.
And it's not that I mean, yes, it took a lot of time for me to take an all-day seminar and roll it into only one page worth of words. Yeah. Like that's the work. And to be able to identify that, thinking within the organization, this is what we need, but how do I take a day's worth of seminars and put it into an actionable one-page document? Mm-hmm. That's how you move faster in these bigger organizations, is you simplify this mess and leverage, the collaborations within there. So, but what you're saying with reaching out to other small business owners, as a small business owner myself now, I can talk to folks with the podcast and get to know them, and I'll be stuck on something. And they're like, yeah, that was me last month. Here, let me just give you the website, and it fixes everything. And I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. And it makes me so happy. And I'm like, they're brain surgeons.
That's right.
Like, really? You just didn't hit enter. You had everything in there, but you just didn't hit go. And I'm like, oh, that's so obvious. But I mean, how would I know unless I didn't, I got to ask. So
you just got to ask. And also you just got to be open. You just got to be open. And and listen, again, it's all in us. It's just dredging it out when we're busy and juggling and having life and work and gosh knows what else. I mean, it's just a lot. So give yourself some grace and lean on somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And once we do figure it out, it's kind of fun to be able to share with other people. Oh my gosh, I figured this out. Here, I'll give you everything. Because if you're willing to do all the work just to carry it over the finish line, like here, that's all you got to do.
That's right. That's right. Like, yeah, people say, because we have a lot, to be fair, we have a lot of templates. We have a lot of things that we're going to load up our website even more with a lot. And we're giving away like so much. But I'm like, what's the point of keeping it? For the greater good, share. I just, I'm a giver though, clearly. I'm not, a taker. So, but yeah, I think we need to share just a little bit more. And you know what? What works for us doesn't work for everyone else, but it triggers another thought for them that carries them to their solution. And so that's just, giving forward, it does pay for itself. And I also think in business too, when you're out there in a community, especially if you're a community-based business, like whether you're a community bank, right? Mm-hmm. A community retail business, whatever, get to know your neighbors, get to know your business neighbors, and share what's working and not working. And you'd be surprised how much it lifts you.
I love it. So Jen, if someone wants to learn more about the work that you're doing, they're curious, they're like, gosh, I really do need someone who understands constellation thinking and how do I find these people? They want to reach out to you. What's the best way to do that?
I think our website's the best, myvirtualcoo.com. Just go there. You'll find us. And there's a couple ways to communicate with us. So
I love it. I love your energy too. You're fantastic. So
thank you. Thank you. Trying to keep it up. Got to plug in every once in a while though.
No, I know. You got it. Jen Goldman, you are the business operations transformer and integrator of My Virtual COO, found on the web at myvirtualcoo.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you too, Catherine. Very much. Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to CatherineCanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.